This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
My name is Craig Fortunato, and I'm one of the pastors here at the church, part of the preaching team. It's my privilege and honor to be able to share God's word with each one of you this morning, and grateful for the opportunity that we have here to come together. And I got to see each Sunday morning, I see new people returning and absolutely brand new people coming. And so again, that's happening this morning. So grateful for all of you returning. And for those of you, this is your first visit. Hey, Wes mentioned a great thing. In front of you is those blue welcome cards. I'd love for everyone to pull that out now and put it by your side. It's going to be a little working document for you today. Love for you to all participate with us this morning. The message that God has for each one of us. And, you know, as we have been talking about the last couple weeks when we started this series, This Is Us, and this is simply an opportunity for you to get a view of who this church is. We're sharing with you our values. And this series came up off of a series of meetings that we had back in the fireside room a couple years ago when we were praying and fasting and praying together on a Sunday night. We would come together and we'd pray and like, Lord, what do you have for us? And we were praying hard. And it led to meetings like this where we were having a team of 13 people coming together, your elders and also a group of 6 people coming together and working hard, starting in September of 2019, maybe August or September 2019, and we continued working up through August of 2020 with our last wet cement meeting. The elders have still been working hard on it, and even on this evening here, this was 1 week, about 8 or 9 days before everything shut down. So this was like March 6th, I think, is when we met there and had that important meeting. In our first wet cement meeting, we gathered 80 leaders in that fireside room to come and hear what God is doing in our church. And so this sermon series came off the efforts of a lot of people praying here in our church and people meeting together and striving to know what God has for us. And just last November, we decided, let's do a one-year vision. Let's do a one-year vision of re-engage. And so we preached on Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25, and we were learning about how we need to not forsake the gathering of the brethren, and that's so important. So in a year of pandemic, when the world is telling us to be restricted and stay away from people, we thought we need to look at re-engaging. And so let's re-engage together. And God's been so faithful to us in this. These series, the big idea of this sermon series is that we often become what we value most. And these are our values. And there's 5 of them. There's 5 values that we have constructed that we feel like embody who we are, but also what we aspire to be. And each one of these values is soaked in Scripture. It has been steeped in Scripture. Scripture has led us to these values for us to be the church that God desires us to be. And so I look forward to continuing this series with each one of you. I've really enjoyed the first 2 sermons in this series that Pastor Zach has shared with us. And we're going to move forward today with our value today is that we grow together in Jesus. We grow together in Jesus. We're right here in the middle of this series. We grow together in Jesus because people and generations are made to grow better together. And I hope you can learn today about how this is found in God's Word. And I'm really looking forward to sharing with you a rich portion of Scripture this morning that Jolene read for each one of us. So we're looking forward to what God's going to do in His church here at LifePoint Church so we can be the church that God desires. So before we get started, I've got a question for you to consider. How is your body? How is your body after this past year of craziness, of forest fires keeping you indoors and gyms keeping you out of their doors and walking around with a mask everywhere you go, and but also finding a way to put something in your mouth. Well, if you're anything like me, there's lots of baked goods all around the house, and And you're just like, man, I need to get rid of these things, so they're a temptation. But I never, ever go to the wastebasket. I always go to this basket. And so a lot of people have been complaining about the COVID-15 that's happened to many people. And this can be representative of some of us in our bodies and what's happened this year. Some of you are streamlined and eating well and exercising well, and that's awesome. I look forward to joining you someday soon. But God's word, what we're hearing about this morning, is talking about the body of Christ. That's the church, his church, the body of Christ. That's how the imagery that Paul uses here in this letter for us is, and he's looking at how Jesus is managing this body, how Jesus is giving gifts to this body. We already know that those who are in the church of Ephesus that Paul is writing, we know that Paul is writing from a prison. He is imprisoned for the gospel, and he is continuing to minister the gospel from this jail cell. And that's where we get this letter of Ephesians. He's writing in a cold, dank cement cell. But he's writing with such grace and hope. We already know that the audience that he is writing to is the church of Ephesus. He's writing to believers. And we already know that God has demonstrated a rich, rich grace by sending his son Jesus as a gift to the world. And I always want to thank Jeremy for how he led us in the scriptures this morning, even in worship. He's reading about from Ephesians 1:7, talking about in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We already know that God has demonstrated his grace for us in this. And we're reading, that's something I love about our worship team, is they thread the worship songs in between with scriptures that guide our thinking, that guide our worship in his word. Thank you for doing that, Jeremy. So as we go forward, we look at what Paul is saying here to the church. And he's bringing up gifts again. He's bringing up the word grace again. Let me start over with verse 1, chapter 4. Have your Bibles open. We're going to be here in this section this morning. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. He's reminding us again that he is a prisoner. Urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. These are all characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus, is it not? He is calling us to come together with these characteristics in mind, and these are Christ-like. Bearing with one another in love. One another. This is not an individual religion. This is people coming together. Bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Do you see how Paul is so careful to give us correct doctrine? And this is God's word. This guides us in our truths. And this is where I get our first gift that Jesus gives to the church. Verse 7, let's read it together. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. His first gift is he gives us grace to each one of us, to each one of us to serve the church in which Christ is the head. Each one of you who believe in Jesus have been given grace. Not just grace unto your salvation, but this grace is talking about a gift, a spiritual gift that each one of you has been given. Each one of you. Each one of you has been gifted by Jesus. Not only have you been gifted salvation for all eternity, but you've been gifted with gifts. What a precious King we have that he would not leave us alone. What a precious king that he would give us this grace of gifts. So as we look at re-engage, as we have termed that to be our vision for this year, as we are all coming back, and I see you coming back, and you keep coming back, and that is great. We look forward to that. We're asking for you to come all the way back. All the way back into serving. Into serving one another in the church with your gifting. With your gifting. I want to tell you that we're going through growing pains right now. We're going through growing pains and how we are assembling as a church, and we're offering up our children's ministry for our early childhood wing and also for our elementary students and our youth group in the second hour. And we're experiencing growing pains where more and more children are coming back, but yet some of our helpers, our volunteers, our trusted, gifted volunteers who love one another and love these children, are yet to return. And so we've been having the same group of people who, when we first got back together to meeting together back in the summertime, back with our first worship service July 5th, and then we started offering children's ministries a couple months after that, we've been having the same people being faithful in their service there to our children. And I'm asking for you to come all the way back and come back into service. Come back into service. And those of you who are live stream at home, we love you. We miss you. We anticipate you coming back soon. We anticipate you coming back soon. I know that some of you one of my dear friends has had a heart transplant 10 years ago, and very careful and very cautious to return, but her anticipation is to be here soon. And so we look forward to each and every one of you coming back soon. Coming back into service. And I want to point out that something we have on our website that has been available on our website for some time. I did a screen grab here. And so if you go to our website, sharelife.org, and you go all the way down to the bottom of the page, you're going to see our spotlight section, and you're going to see these icons here. I'd like for you to go right here and click on this button. Click on this button because you can get an opportunity to learn. After just a few minutes of taking a spiritual gifts assessment, you can learn what your spiritual gifts are. This gift that Jesus himself has given you. He's not left the church empty-handed. He's given gifts to each one of us so that we would exercise those gifts and this church would flourish so that he gets glory. So that he gets glory. So know that this is always on our website, at the bottom of the page, at our spotlight section. You can do your spiritual gifts assessment. When I go through a membership class, I have each one of the people in the membership class do this assessment, listed on their application, their top three spiritual gifts. Take that. Take that assessment. It's free, and it helps you get to know how you can be using your gifts here in the church. He gives grace to each one to serve the church, of which Christ is the head. We are the body, and we are called to serve, and we will serve strong. Secondly, as we move forward, we see this second gift. The second gift that Jesus gives to the church, he gives the church leaders. He gives the church leaders, and he identifies these in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. That word shepherds is what we use today in the New Testament of being elders, pastors. He gave these people gifts of leadership to start churches, to witness Christ, those who are yet to believe, to teach the scriptures, to hold fast, to shepherd the congregation, and to lead them. So why does he do this? Why does he give the church leaders? If he's given everyone gifts, why does the church need leaders? And we get why with this next couple words in verse 12. To equip. This is why the church has leaders, is to equip. Now this word, this Greek word, is also used earlier in Matthew, and when they're on the side of the shore and they got some fishing nets, and comes along a couple of guys and they're mending fishing nets. They're fixing what is broken. And that time, so it also means to repair what is broken. Later on, 1 Thessalonians 3, it talks about those who are go without. It supplies. It supplies that goes without. To build up the bodies. To supply something that is lacking. These are the explanations of what it means to equip. It's not just to help. It's not just to provide, but it's to mend something that's broken or to supply something that is lacking. And this is why the church needs leaders, is because we're all broken. We're all in need of supply. We're all in need of repair. And so the church, by Jesus' divine grace, he establishes the church with these offices of leadership, as you see there, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Why is to equip the saints? That's what you all are who trust in Jesus Christ. You're called a saint. You're set apart by God. You're called saints to equip you for the work of ministry. For the work of ministry. It's not just for us to get together in a room and to get smarter together. It's to equip you for the works of ministry, for the works of service. Why? For the building up the body of Christ. It's right here for us. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The body of Christ cannot be built up simply upon a powerful preacher. The body of Christ cannot be simply built up by works of service, by all of his saints, all of his people. It takes a combination of each one applying themselves to their unique spiritual gifting and following the leaders as God has, as Jesus has appointed for his church. Jesus is the one who is giving the gifts to his church of spiritual gifts and of important roles. This is all to build up the body. The purpose is to equip us to build up the body, to do body work, which Jesus is the head of the body. And the head always knows what's best for the body. So how does this look? How does this look specifically here at LifePoint? You're wondering here that the church values Scripture, the church values God's glory over ours. We start and stay with Scripture, and now we are learning, we grow together in Jesus. So how does this look specifically at LifePoint? And first of all, it looks like preaching. The preaching of God's word is that's happening right now on Sunday mornings, that we would not forsake the gathering of the brethren so that we would grow in God's word. We learn about this in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and many other passages about the importance of preaching God's word. How else does this look at LifePoint? It looks like life groups, gathering together, growing in the gospel. Gathering together and growing in the gospel. Our life groups take place during the middle of the week where we have time to enter into God's word and enter into doing life with one another. As this happens best in homes. It also happens here in the church, in church different buildings, and even in restaurants throughout the city. But we grow together in the gospel. And a couple months ago, I preached about Acts 2, 42 through 47. It's a classic look for how we grow together in the gospel by devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That we would gather together in this way. Acts 2, 42 through 47. I also want to read to you in Titus something that I think is really unique to our church that amplifies how we grow together in Jesus here at our church. See, we're blessed here in this church. As you look around, take a look around, put your head on a swivel, take a look around. We have every generation represented in this room. We're very unique in that. We've got them from 9 to 90 plus. And I thank God for that. Zach shared last week that we're a church that's 142 years old. We started back the same year Colorado State University started in 1879. And listen to what God's word tells us about teaching sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. This is how we grow together. This is how we grow together in Jesus. Well, I got a few pictures here of some of our life groups that are coming together. And if you are yet to join in a life group, I want to encourage you to do that. And you can see me. I would love to help you. Again, that blue card that's at your side, you can let me know. Let us know, and we'd love to follow up with you. This is a men's group here that meets during the middle of the week here at the church. Got some lovely ladies here. This is my lovely mother-in-law right there. Props to her and all of her friends right there. They gather here at the church. This is a group of my friends. They get together around the campfire in their backyard and in doing life together, sharing God's word and growing around the gospel together. Look at this exciting group of girls here. Excited to do life together, young to old. And this one's happening during the pandemic. We're not going to give up meetings, so we're going to meet online, Zoom, meet safely in person. These are just some of the examples of life groups of how we're doing life together and enjoying Jesus together as we're growing in the gospel. And this is why it's so important for us to have these relationships. So again, if you are yet to be in a life group, let me know in your blue card. Let us know on the digital communication card, those of you who are at home. And I'd love to get you partnered up with a group where you can be growing in the gospel. We grow together in Jesus. Another way that this looks unique to our church is something that we started just this past January, just a few months ago. We started our first disciple training module. And one of our pastors, Dale Williams, is teaching this selected group of students who are about 13 or 14. I maxed it out at 10, and he kept taking more and more people, and I think they stopped at 13 or 14. And they are learning right now how to interpret God's word. What a valuable tool, a lifelong tool, to be able to learn how to interpret God's word rightly so that they can in turn teach it to their children, teach it to the people that they would disciple, so that they could be helpful, so we could be right bearers of God's word. This is something we just want to capitalize on. We want to move forward in. Let me look up a passage for us in 2 Timothy that tells us why this is so important for us to gather together and hear God's word together, to grow in God's word together, and why this has been commissioned, how this has been commissioned by in God's word. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We see this happening in this DTM that Dale is leading. He has heard the message, and he has been entrusted with this, to turn this forward to reliable men who will then, in turn, share this with those that they're going to be with. This is four generations of people being influenced by the gospel. And we're seeing that happen with our first disciple training module. I want to thank Dale Williams for doing this with us. This is how it looks for us at LifePoint, gathering together for the hearing of God's word, doing life together through life groups and sharing in the gospel, growing the gospel, holding one another accountable, confessing sin, praying for one another's successes, praying for one another's growth, being trained up in the gospel in disciple training modules so that they can go forward and train and disciple others as well. And I heard a story this past week as I went to a restaurant. I had some time to kill in the morning for breakfast, and I ended up running across our last youth pastor, Keith Bronice, which he sends you his greetings. He and Beth are doing quite well. And he asked me to come back and join him with a friend. And I had a little bit of time, but I decided I'll go back there and say hi to them. And went back there, and I was so encouraged by this man that I met just one time this past year, and he's meeting with Keith. His name is David. And David is sharing with me quickly, just in a matter of minutes, sharing quickly about how He's been discipling men for a long time. And he's come across where he's probably 5 or 6 years older than myself. And he's now currently meeting with a man who is recently divorced, has kids, but he's growing in his new relationship in Jesus. He's growing. And every assignment David gives this young man, he does. He says, I want you to read the book of John. And he comes back the next week. I read it, and these are the things I found, and these are the questions I have. And this man is just chewing, just devouring scripture, just eating it. And so David decides, he says, well, how about, have you ever read the Bible through cover to cover? And the man says, no. He says, well, why don't we do that? Let's do that together, and let's read it in 3 months. Now, if you have read the Bible cover to cover, 3 months is ambitious. You know, most of us chunk it out for about 15 minutes a day every day, and you can get through in 1 year. Well, David, he stops in the story and he shares with me, he says, for the past 3 years, I have been ministry burnout. I have just been burned out in ministry. And that's all he had to say. He punctuated, and he could see he really meant it. But as he started this assignment with the guy he was discipling, he started reading God's word, and he could not put it down. You know, they're doing this ambitious goal of reading it within one Bible in 3 months. Well, David read and read and read. He started this in February, early February. He read and read and read. He read the whole Bible in 28 days. And the day he finished it, he started it again. This time, he read it in 21 days. And the day he finished it, he picked it up again and started it again. And he anticipates finishing it next week for a third time, all since February. He gets in the car and he puts on his Bible app and it starts reading to him. He is simply consuming the Word of God in his discipling relationship with this young man that he's leading. And it's changing his life. This man is not burned out in ministry. Let me tell you, meeting with him, the words of the page that he has hidden in his heart were jumping off of his tongue. And he is just sharing the richness and how alive he is coming to the Lord through his living word. This is a living word. And he's doing it through relationships. God is breathing life back into this man, David, through his word as they grow together. And I was so encouraged by this. So encouraged by this because I've been with other men at that age and they've talked about reading the Bible and it's like tastes like cardboard. If you're feeling distant from God, give him opportunity to speak into your life by going maybe back to the things of former for you of years ago. Maybe it's a candle and a pencil and a piece of notebook paper that you rewrite the scriptures and rewrite them and memorize them and hold them. And you do it with the other people. You do it within your life group. And you show up prepared for what the message is going to be on Sunday morning. You go to bed early on Saturday night and you rise early Sunday morning and you take a walk and you thank the Lord for what he's given to us. Come back to the Lord. He is good. He is faithful. And we grow best. We grow together in Jesus. It's his design. Let me show you this. We grow together in Jesus because people and generations are made to grow better together. I want to read verse 13 for you and then close with the last sections. 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I think what God is trying to get here, Paul is trying to communicate to us, is that there's an image here, a Christ-like image that God is calling us as a church towards, that we would embody the fullness of Jesus. And we do that by coming alive to our giftings one to another. so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. This was so prevalent in this city of Ephesus 2,000 years ago, and it's so prevalent today. We need to mature in Christ's likeness. Lastly, verse 15. And this I just get so excited about because it really exemplifies our value that we're sharing here today. Verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Do you guys see this with me here? We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We grow together in Jesus. It's there. It's right there for us. This is how we grow. Jesus is saying we've got to do this together. We do this together. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is in the head, into Christ. Christ is the head. We're growing up. We're going to be the best elbow we can be. We're going to be the best wrist we're going to be. It continues on. Let's read the rest of this. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Man, when these elbows are working right, when these knees are working right, when these hips are working right, you know, like there's some good grease in there, man, you can do some things. You can go that extra mile. And the thing about growing the body, whether it's your own body or whether it's God's body, His body, is that we've got to have proper nutrition and we got to have proper exercise. We got to get out there and exercise these muscles, folks. We can't just sit at the table and consume. We've got to exercise this truth. We got to speak the truth in love to one another. We got to be willing to share the hope of the gospel, which we hold deep within our hearts. We worship hard every Sunday. We're worshiping. You guys are writing checks. You guys are giving money to God. We've got to keep pressing forward with this exercise of our faith and be diligent to exercise with one another. And to keep eating clean food, good nutrition. Nourish yourself. Have those joints lubed up so you can do strong exercise. So our children are growing in the gospel. I was walking through there last night. It's empty. And I was walking through the rooms. Just so thankful for the work of so many people who have gone before us for countless of years to give us a building with cribs, with like diapers and pull-ups, and there's lotion and all these different things in this crib room. And I got to see there's this recliner chair where people hold babies. Hold babies. You know what's right there by the stand and a little light? Is a pair of reading glasses. They just leave it for who's next. Because they're reading God's word to babies. And this changes us. It changes us. I want to give a public thank you to our God and to the leadership of this church. As we look back to how God has given the church leaders, in which I'm privileged and humbled to be able to be one of them. And this past week has been a challenging week for me. Challenging week in that I was really disappointed on Wednesday. Only to be further disappointed and saddened on Thursday. Two different events. And because we operate on a series of plurality of elders and pastors here at the church, it's not just one man leading the show, but I was able to tip a little bit. And a brother caught me. I was able to be weary a little bit, and this brother caught me. Let me share with you guys, there's a massive spiritual war going on across this world. And every now and then we get wakened up to it. It's how bad it really is. Satan's purpose-driven. He is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And I love the team that I'm a part of. I love it. I thank you guys. I thank God that He's placed us all together in this building at this time, for such a time as this, that we would go forward arm in arm in great adoration for our God who loves us and is patient with us. Man, this never gets old. Each day is new, and He is so good to us. This grace we were talking about earlier this morning never gets old. It just gets newer and more beautiful. We grow in this grace. We grow together in Jesus. And I'm so thankful this is a value of our church, that we don't try and do it alone. We do it together. And it's by God's design. So let's be obedient to this design. Let's be obedient to this design and bear one another's burdens and pray for one another, that we may flourish and be God to receive the glory for all the flourishing that this church does moving forward. I believe He has great plans for us. Great plans for us. With that, I'd like the worship team to come forward, if you wouldn't mind, and I'd like to move us into a time where we realize that we grow together in Jesus. The temptation is to do it by yourself. The temptation is to just be fine by yourself in the Bible with your own playlist of music, with your own favorite preacher. There is a temptation to do that. I want to ask to trust in God's Word. Even God said it early in Genesis, is not good for man to be alone. It is not good. Let us resist that temptation. Let us resist that temptation and move forward in Jesus together. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, I pray for my friends out here as we gather together and we have looked at your word. And I do pray. I do pray that, God, that we would trust your word. We would trust that you are a giver of good gifts, that you would not just give me the gift of salvation, which that's just mind-boggling, but you would in turn gift us with good spiritual gifts, useful gifts to be exercised amongst the body to make it stronger. Thank you for the elders and the pastors and the many that have gone before us in this building and in this city. And I do want to pause and pray for churches in this city that are gathering together now. They're gathering and they are praying. They are reading your word. They're seeking knowledge, seeking understanding, praising your name. Be with them. Speak to them, God. We lift up the good churches in this town. Be there for them in their time of need. Thank you for this church and how you provide for us so faithfully. You are a faithful God. Thank you that we can grow together in Jesus by your grace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Life Point Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.